On the show today, we have Jim Yeo's very own Dean Nichols talking about why the banking and finance industry has seen an increased demand for identity verification tools and what we can expect to see in this area as the COVID-19 prognosis continues to develop. So check it out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Jim Yeo's very own Dean Nichols. Dean, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, we're talking about why the banking and finance industry has seen an increased demand for identity verification tools and what we can expect to see in this area as the COVID-19 prognosis continues to develop. So this is obviously a super hot topic, and you guys at Jumio are obviously right on the front lines of this, right?
We are indeed. Yep.
Indeed. So why are these industries, especially the banking and finance industries, seeing an increase in demand for these ID verification tools right now?
Well, I think it probably makes a ton of sense. Since most people can't march into their local credit union or to a branch office, everything has to be done online. And so when we talk about everything, that means even when they're creating new accounts. So at a super high level, where we play is we perform a lot of the kind of initial onboarding and identity verification that happens during the Know Your Customer or KYC checks that happen at initial onboarding. And so what's happening is obviously most people aren't leaving their homes, and so they want to transact online. Yeah. And so the need for identity verification becomes even more important now than it has in the past.
Yeah, because we're relying so heavily on the digital now. It's, you know, it's a necessity now. At least that's what I'm hearing now. Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yeah, I mean, we even hear even some big traditional banks are shutting down their branch offices for a period of weeks, and they're doing everything online.
Yep.
So obviously it helps if they have the infrastructure in place that they can do that.
No doubt.
So that's going to be becoming obviously an increasing concern as the weeks kind of wane on.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many stories I've done over the years, or just the last couple of, or maybe last 3 years, about how, you know, banks and credit unions are now going through, hey, we're doing our digital transformation journey and we're kind of halfway through, or we're just getting going now, and they're just kind of getting going on it, and all of a sudden this thing hits and everybody's relying on the digital. It's like, all right, we really got to put the pedal to the metal, so to speak, and get this thing finished up so we can serve the consumers out there.
That's right. So frankly, I think the members are even expecting it.
What's that?
I was going to say, even, you know, if the members of credit unions and banks kind of now expect it, right? They expect an Uber-like experience with their bank. And so expectations from customers has increased as well.
Indeed. So what kind of tools are we talking about here? Obviously, the identity verification stuff. Can you give me an example of what this stuff would look like, or how it would work?
Yeah, I mean, identity verification has been part of the kind of account onboarding process kind of forever, right? Historically, that has meant someone has walked into kind of a credit union or branch office, and they would provide proof that they are who they say they are. They might provide a copy of a passport or a driver's license and a birth certificate, and they look the teller in the eye and say, I am this person, and it's all done very face-to-face, right? That's changed pretty dramatically over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, where more and more of this stuff is happening online. So the way that we do it, and there's a number of ways that identity verification happens. For many credit unions and banks, what they're doing is they might say, okay, Mike, tell us that you are who you say you are, give us your name and your address. And they might ping like a database. They might ping like a credit bureau and say, is there a Mike Lawson at this address? And if that address exists and there's a Mike Lawson there, they'd say, therefore, this must be Mike Lawson, because who else could possibly know that?
Right.
Well, right now, like a lot of us could know that. We could rifle through your email, we could go to the dark web, and we would know your address, right? So the way that we do identity verification is a little bit different. As part of the onboarding process, we would ask you to share a copy of your, to take a picture of your driver's license or passport or ID card with your phone or your webcam, and then to take a selfie. And then what we're going to do is make sure that ID is legitimate and it hasn't been doctored or forged. And then we're going to compare the picture in the selfie to the picture on that government-issued ID to make sure that they're match, right? Mm-hmm. And once we do those checks, we actually have another check in there as well, what we call liveness detection, to make sure the person is physically present. Once we go through those checks, we would tell the credit union, this person is who they claim to be. Now, they might do, and they would do some other checks as part of the KYC process, right? They would check them against, and we can help as well, but they could say, is Mike Lawson on any watch list or PEPs and sanctions list, right? That's part of the AML screening. They might check your credit history as well So there's a number of other steps that happen during that KYC step, but often the most time consuming and the onerous part of that journey is the identity verification, because that's where you're asking the consumer to do something, and that is to take a picture of their ID and to do the selfie. So obviously it's super important that that happens very, very quickly.
And I'm kind of relating it to this call actually, Dean, because we're doing this audio. So how do I know it's you, Dean? So that's how I'm kind of relating to it right now.
Yeah. I mean, and what's also kind of interesting about the whole technology is that this is kind of where the biometrics come in, is that even that same technology that's being used for identity verification, which is where we're actually capturing a 3D face map during the selfie taking process. Mm-hmm. The benefit of capturing a 3D face map is there's a downstream benefit. So for example, let's say we've given Mike Lawson an online account to the credit union. Now let's say there's a $15,000 wire transfer that you want to, or that gets executed in your name.
Yeah.
Oftentimes credit unions, they need to authenticate that the person requesting that wire transfer is the same person that has the account. Right, because account takeover, which is a major threat, fraud vector right now for banks and credit unions, that's really increasing and spiking thanks to the dark web. But instead of asking you now when you authorize that wire transfer for your mother's maiden name, which again, if I'm a fraudster, I already have that information, they would say, okay, Mike, take a selfie now, and we're going to create a fresh 3D face map and then compare it to the one that you took when you enrolled in the account. Wow. That's a way more secure way to do like high-risk transactions.
Yeah, completely. Now, given the circumstances that we're in right now with the coronavirus crisis going on, what can we expect to see in this area as the prognosis continues to develop? What are we going to see here?
My expectation, and we've seen this with our own volumes, right, at our company, we process probably 200,000 verifications a day, and many of them are for financial institutions. We've seen a pretty significant spike in traffic over the last 2 to 3 weeks. So more and more people are creating accounts online. However, at the same time, we're also starting to see spikes in fraud or attempted fraud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And this isn't terribly unsurprising either. You have a lot more people are at home. You have a lot more free time. You have people getting laid off and looking for other sources of income. Right? And often when you open up the digital channels, you're opening up your exposure to online fraud, mm-hmm. whether that be account takeover, whether it be synthetic fraud, with any variety of fraud and identity theft, you're opening yourself up as an institution. So you need to have the safeguards in place to kind of keep the bad actors out.
Indeed. So how will these tools help kind of mitigate what's going on out there right now? Obviously, it sounds like there's extra security behind all this type of stuff, right?
Yeah, well, there is. And I think it goes back to when you think about how many banks and credit unions are authorizing that the person on the other side of that connection is who they claim to be.
Right.
So for many of these institutions that are trying to go digital, right, if they're still relying on these supposed secret questions and answers, like your mother's maiden name or your first car, they're obviously at heightened exposure for fraud. Right. So I think what we're going to start to see is an even more rapid adoption of this form of identity verification that relies on biometrics, right, to make sure that the person is who they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also, I mentioned liveness detection, but I didn't really explain it. What's happening is as we evolve as a security company, the bad actors and the fraudsters also evolve as well. So it used to be that we just required, for example, a government-issued ID and we'd pair it with a selfie. Then what we started to discover is that fraudsters, instead of using a selfie, would take a picture. So I could grab your picture off LinkedIn, for example. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that I'm Mike Lawson.
Yep.
And that might pass in the old days. And now you have the emergence of even deep fakes, you know, those fake videos that can be produced fairly cheaply, mm-hmm. where I can actually take your picture off LinkedIn and I can make your mouths move. I can make your eyes move. I can do all kinds of things to pretend that I'm Mike Lawson just with a 2D photograph. So the reason liveness detection is so important is that many financial institutions need to prevent against these types of spoofing attacks. And so what they're doing is saying, we want to have some kind of checks in place to make sure that you are physically present when you're creating the account. And again, there's probably 10 to 15 different ways of doing liveness detection. The way that we do it is that we would have you position your face within an oval on the screen and then move just about 8 inches closer. Mm-hmm. So what we're really doing is taking a short video as opposed to a selfie. Oh. But even in that short 2 second video, we can sense whether or not this is a real person versus a photo or a video, mm-hmm. like a deepfake video. And we know for a fact that you're physically present or not. Right. And so, and all this stuff takes fractions of seconds. So it's not, a lot of banks and credit unions care an awful lot about that online experience. And so if this whole process takes too long or it's too onerous for the end users, they're going to kind of shy away from it. The good news is everything I just described can happen within 30 seconds.
Oh, convenience is huge there. Wow. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to address what you guys just announced here, that you, Jumio, will be providing free identity verification services to any organization directly involved in helping with the COVID-19 relief. Can you expand on this a little bit? Can you tell us more?
Yeah. Well, the timing is really good because we just launched this program today. We're calling it Jumio Go for Good. Mm-hmm. Jumio Go is the name of our fully automated identity verification solution. And what the solution does is it allows any, and the reason we launched this program today is there are a lot of institutions out there and organizations that are doing their level best to help all of us out, whether they be healthcare agencies, whether they be NGOs or charities, whether they be even universities, right, that are just trying to kind of stay afloat and let their students, like my son, take classes online. Mm-hmm. And taking classes online also means taking exams online.
Right.
Right. And so what we're doing is for any organization that's related to that, those efforts, we're essentially giving away our services at least until the pandemic subsides. All right. And so that's what the solution is about. And you can learn more about it on our website at Jumio. Jumio.com. It's right on the homepage. You can just click on the hero graphic and see who's eligible. But essentially right now we're opening it up to any kind of organizations, again, directly involved with the COVID relief efforts. And that would include healthcare agencies, that would include NGOs, charities, that would include universities, but even companies like delivery services that are, I had a company come to us yesterday and said, look, we're trying to deliver groceries and other kind of services to the elderly. And this is out of the UK. But we need to verify that the volunteers that are signing up for our service are who they claim to be, because we need to protect ourselves, right, as a charity. And so that's a perfect use case where we're going to step in and just offer the services free of charge.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And again, I think you answered my next question is like, where can folks go check this out? Obviously Jumio.com. So
that's right.
Get right to it. Jumio.com. Dean, anything else here to wrap up? Sounds like you guys are really got the bases covered here.
Yeah, I mean, this is a global problem, right? And it's affecting institutions like, you know, obviously credit unions and their members. It's affecting healthcare companies. It's affecting all walks of life, mm-hmm. right? And I think these are really, really challenging times. And so I think the Jumio Go for Good is a small measure of goodwill. And I'm seeing that from a lot of other organizations stepping up, right? So I've been pleased, you know, in terms of how other organizations are stepping up to kind of deal with this pandemic.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there's some amazing stories going on out there and even more amazing stories to come, I'm sure. So, and you guys are right there in the mix. So thank you for all the efforts that you guys are putting out there and helping out folks as well, because it's desperately needed. That is for sure. So appreciate the time, Dean. Keep up the good work there at Jumio, and let's check in down the line, see how things are going. All right.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Anytime, sir. Anytime.